Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Stocks closed slightly higher Friday, wrapping up a record-setting week as a solid start to quarterly earnings season and improving geopolitical conditions helped boost investor sentiment. The S&P 500 gained 12. The NASDAQ added 31. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 50 points, settling to 29,348. I'm Andy Gersher. This is After the Bell. And joining us to close out the record-setting week on Wall Street, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Well, Jack, looks like earnings season is going well so far, and the markets have responded. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think most of the move we enjoyed this week was really more from the geopolitical front. We had obviously de-escalation with Iran. We signed a phase one of the trade pact with China. So that set the stage for a little more comfort among investors. But you're right, earnings was pretty good. Within the finance sector, which was really the first to report, there were some winners and losers. We had Morgan Stanley and J.P. Morgan do remarkably well relative to expectations, and Goldman Sachs and Wells Fargo falling pretty far short.
Now that we are knee-deep in earnings season, several weeks and key earnings to come, including some key tech stocks, so what are you looking for going forward for the next couple of weeks?
Sure. So, analysts really don't have very high expectations of Q4 results. In fact, overall, they've penciled in a negative 1.9% earnings decline year over year through the fourth quarter. So I guess in many respects, the bar is pretty low. So the opportunity for companies to, beat those forecasts, I guess, are pretty easy. So we're starting to see it, at least fits and starts here in the banking sector.
Did companies the last go around, did they kind of sandbag expectations and guidance the last quarter?
Well, I think there was, partially was, uncertainty surrounding the trade issues and other things for the year. I think the comparisons to Q4 2018 were probably high. So my sense is that, if we look out for the next four quarters, analysts are, a little more optimistic, and we're looking for 2020 earnings growth to come in around 10 or 12%, actually.
A question I've been asking all our After the Bell guests this week is how active they are during earnings season. I have talked to a lot of folks who say, it can be a little risky being active and trading during earnings season. They often feel a little more comfortable to see how things kind of lay out and then move from there. What is your take? How active are you during earnings season? Is that something you participate in, or do you kind of see what happens and then make your moves from there?
Sure. I think a lot of it has to do with where you see the fundamentals of the market. And, earnings season forces investors to look at those fundamentals. So in a market like this one, where valuations are somewhat stretched, the economic backdrop seems to be improving, however, perhaps those, being forced to focus on fundamentals probably isn't a bad thing, but it will likely underscore how expensive stocks are. So, from my perspective, I generally don't like to get in the way of earnings season just because of the surprises that we could encounter. And, it's easy to predict and easy to avoid.
Well, and you just mentioned stocks could be a little expensive right now, and we're having a ton of optimism surrounding this market. Are any of those things red flags?
Yeah. So optimism, if it were overwhelming optimism among investors, I would get cautious near term. That's one that really does tend to predict in a bad way the subsequent 6 and 12 month results. But keep in mind, going into 2020, investors were medium to slightly optimistic, and then of course the the conflict with Iran probably pulled a lot of bull horns back. So we're not really at extreme levels. If we were to start to see bullishness really ramp up a little bit more from here, that could be at least a near-term bearish signal.
What are your moves right now? Are there any areas of the market that you do see value and are taking a hard look at getting involved?
Sure. I would say domestically, the cheapest market out there is energy. That's just an area that investors have really turned away from and avoided. As a result of that, energy infrastructure is trading at probably in the bottom quartile of its historical range from a valuation perspective. You know, and contrast that against the rest of the market that's trading in the top quartile of its historical range from a valuation perspective. So, you know, while I can't sit here and tell everyone that, you know, valuation is a timing tool that you'll make money right away, it is a good indicator of when to buy. Not necessarily an expensive market when to sell, but long term you'll be rewarded.
And then we often talk with analysts about value versus growth. What camp are you in right now?
Yeah, I'm still in the growth camp, largely just because of the cascading tidal wave of capital that's going into passive index funds. You know, keep in mind that over the last 5 years, the average management fee investors have endured has been cut in half, largely because they've been selling their actively managed mutual fund, which typically is a value-oriented fund, and plowing it into the S&P 500 index fund, which is a growth index. So as long as that tidal wave of capital keeps moving away from active management to passive management in an effort to, you know, cut your fees in half, that's going to favor growth.
What's your advice for the individual investor, someone who maybe checks in with their portfolio every now and then, maybe has a small trading account that they dabble? What's your advice for someone like that?
Sure. I mean, this is my advice for anybody, and that is you've got to match your investments with the cash flow you need from your account. So, for example, if you're young and you're not needing to draw any money out of your financial investment account, then you have a long time horizon, let's say 10 years or more, you should be on all equities. If, on the other hand, you need cash from your account sometime before 10 years, then you should have more shorter-term fixed income, income-oriented investments to cover those cash flows that you'll need between now and the next 10 years. But I think my recommendation to anybody is don't dive into the stock market unless you're willing to sit there for at least 7 years.
That's Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. And I'm Andy Gersher for News Radio on 105.9 FM.